Have you ever watched a player serve a volleyball and thought to yourself, her toss is all over the place. If she just had a more consistent toss, she could be such a great server. Well, if you have thought something like that, I have some exciting news for you. If you wanted to, you could probably change that athlete's playing experience with just one or two private lessons. Of course, you could work with this athlete in practice and offer tips and advice over the span of a few weeks, and then maybe see some improvement. However, if you've coached a team before, you know that it's really hard to spend even a couple of minutes with just one player. And you also know that as soon as you turn your back or walk away, they're most likely going to go back to their bad habits. But let's change the setting. It's just you, the player, and a full ball card. Maybe mom is on the sideline, but there aren't any distractions and 100% of your focus and the player's is on their form, specifically that crazy toss. Although the progress is entirely up to the athlete, I can almost guarantee that after just one session, their toss will improve. In a private lesson, you are essentially fast-tracking their skill development because all of your attention is on them. You're not yelling general corrections and pointers to a group of 12 teenagers while you mosey around a court. You're telling this one player specifically what she needs to change, what she's doing well, and she has the opportunity to practice in a setting where she won't be judged by her teammates as she's trying these new techniques. I could go on and on about the benefits of working one-on-one with athletes or even in small groups, but instead, I'm just going to recommend that you check out my latest book, Private Lessons, A Volleyball Coach's Guide to Getting Started. Just go to getthepancake.com and check out the books tab. Here you can learn more about what's in this new book, who it was written for, and if I think it's right for you. Seriously, go check it out. If you've thought about running private lessons before but weren't sure where to get started, this book is for you. Once you get started, you'll realize that the benefits of running private lessons extend far beyond improved tosses. Hi everyone, it's Whitney from Get the Pancake, a podcast for volleyball coaches. Today's episode is going to be short and sweet as the topic is pretty simple to understand. And to be honest, I don't really want to waste your time talking about it too much if it's pretty easy to grasp. Today's topic is controlling the thermostat. This is a pretty common concept that I've heard in different areas, whether that's business, personal development. So it's nothing too earth-shattering, but I think applying the concept to volleyball certainly has its benefits. So let's go ahead and get into today's episode. All right, so controlling the thermostat. What do I mean by that? Well, have you ever had games where you just felt like everything was frantic and out of control and like you needed a timeout, but even a timeout didn't give you enough time to really think things through and get your team sort of to calm down and reset? Or on the flip side of that, have you had games where everyone was just kind of dragging their feet, not really getting where they needed to go? No matter what you do, you really struggled to pump up your team. Well, these things happen, and they happen to everybody. So if you feel like it's just you, don't worry, you are not alone. For the sake of today's episode, we're going to call these different temperatures. And we don't normally stay in those temperatures. We always return back to our normal. So when everything's feeling frantic and out of control, we're going to say that that is when we're too hot. We're sort of heating up, and we need to really just cool down and calm down and relax. And then the games where everyone is really just, you know, moving slow motion, we're a little too cold at that point and we sort of need to turn up the heat and get things moving. So we're always kind of wanting to just get back to that normal pace of play where we're confident, executing well, and we just feel like we're in our groove. But instead of waiting for some heater to kick on or for the AC to come on once a certain temperature is reached, sometimes you just want to get ahead of it and adjust that temperature yourself. So as I said, if you do nothing, you will return to normal after a short amount of time, whether that's a couple of hours or a couple of days, you will eventually come back to normal. But sometimes in certain situations, you need to be the one taking control of the thermostat. The scenario that I personally have experienced the most, and I think that most teams can relate to, is when your team is too cold or just slow moving. I think this can also be related to when your team is quote unquote playing down to the other team's level. And I know everyone has used that as an excuse. I've done it plenty of times myself, but let's take ownership of that. Let's not just say it's out of our control. If it happens so frequently, maybe that's something that we need to be practicing for and learning how to be in control of. So let's take the example of when our team is too cold and we need to turn up the heat. While I'm talking about this, I'm going to be using words like turn up the heat, turn on the AC. These are things that you can say to your players. These are kind of like cue words. These are short phrases that you can use in a match that your team understands applies to a broader concept. So when you say, hey guys, let's cool down, they know that, okay, that means we need to do A, B, and C to slow the game down because it's starting to get too frantic. Or maybe you say something like, okay guys, let's really turn it up, let's go. Then they know, okay, this is what we need to focus on in order to perform better. So I really do encourage you to use the concept of temperature and setting the thermostat. Use those words specifically with your team so that when you do need to do that in a match, the instructions are simple. You don't need to go into points 1, 2, and 3. You just say your cue word that you like to use the best. So just as it makes it easier for you to understand the concept, it should make it easier for your players to understand the concept as well. So let's go with what I believe is the most common temperature adjustment that we need to make, which is turning it up. Whether you've come up with the excuse that, oh, my team just isn't a morning team, or, oh, my team is just really tired at the end of the day. Be honest, I know we have all said those things, or, oh, you guys, you didn't have your coffee this morning. We make jokes about it, and that's fine, but at the same time, those are excuses. If we come out and lose to a team and we say, oh, well, it's just an early game, like it was an early game for the other team too. So that's why, even though I've used that excuse myself, I don't think it's a good excuse. And we need to kind of hold ourselves to a higher standard. And what we need to do to combat the slow moving cold play is practice adjusting to that in a game like scenario. And I think I'm going to try and specifically design a drill later on that works on setting the temperature, but I haven't done that yet. So in the meantime, let's just say that you're going to use a controlled setting like the down ball free ball game, which is on getthepancake.com, or you could do this in a sort of scrimmage setup where maybe your lineup is the one who is in charge of controlling the thermostat, and then the second lineup, which is most of your substitutions, they are going to be the ones who are altering their play. And I think that benefits that group of players just as much as it benefits the lineup. We'll talk about that in a second. But usually when your team feels like they are moving too slow or it's too cold feeling and we need to turn it up, there are a couple different scenarios. Maybe the other team is also playing really slow and not challenging your team. Maybe that's why your players are moving slowly on the court, because they don't feel like they really need to be putting as much effort in. I think this happens a lot, as I mentioned before, when we are playing down to the other team's level. So in a scrimmage setting, for example, you'll want to have your substitutions practice really slow volleyball, you know, walking back to serve, taking their time to serve, giving them a lot of free balls or placing the ball, slowing it down, and then have your lineup try and execute running quicks or just being ready to serve as soon as the whistle blows. Mixing up shots can also create a lot of chaos on the other side, speeding up the game and make it probably more than the other team can handle. If you want a drill on how to teach mixing up your shots, I do have an article on getthepancake.com. I'll link to that in the show notes. That way you can teach them, okay, this is when you tip, this is when you should roll shot, this is where you should roll shot. And your players will start to get an idea of the different attacking tools that they have in their toolbox, and then they'll be able to better control the match when they're in the scenario. On the flip side, let's say that the other team is running quicks against us. They're moving the game too fast. Maybe you've run out of timeouts, and this is a really stressful situation to be in when you feel like you just need to push pause, but you can't. There's almost no time to give any sort of instruction. What I would suggest in this situation, based on what has worked for me in the past, is getting your team to slow down, to turn on the AC, relax a little bit, cool down. Again, we're using those words with our players, but what we want to do is we want to pass maybe a little bit higher than we normally do. We want to set nice and high. We want to set to outside. That's going to add a little bit of time on our side just until we can sort of regroup and get back to that normal place of play. Against better teams, against teams that are running quicks and everything, it can get really frustrating to defend against that or try to match that pace if that's not where your team is at. So just trying to take back control of the pace of play, slowing it down to a level that your team can handle instead of running around frantically, not getting into position on time. If you can slow it down on your side, it will give everyone just an extra second or two to get into position. That's also going to include placing shots instead of just wailing at the ball. But this is another thing that you can do, again, in that scrimmage setting, having your substitutions work on playing quick, really challenging your lineup to react to quick sets, to maybe a set or dump, sneaky things that aren't the quote-unquote normal pass set hit, being able to react to that and try and slow it down. And this is a little bit challenging to do because you won't really achieve a temperature based on what your stats say. It's just a feeling that you're going to have, like, okay, are we in control or are we reacting to what's happening? So that's probably the reason this isn't a drill yet, because most drills will have some sort of a goal that you reach. And this is a drill that you more so, you're just running to get used to the situation and learn how to control the situation. There isn't necessarily a measurement of, okay, we finally cooled the other team down this far. You just kind of have to go through it until you feel good about it. So even though there's not necessarily a goal that you're reaching, I still think this is a worthwhile practice just to get the language incorporated in how you talk to your team, what your team understands. So if you say, like, okay, guys, let's cool down, they know, okay, that means slow down play, that means higher passes, placing our shots versus just trying to swing all out and maybe getting blocked and just creating more chaos, just trying to get that control back. Now, this isn't going to guarantee that you go out and win these matches, but I certainly think you're going to feel better about how you perform in these situations, and maybe you'll have less of those games where you are playing down to the other team's level. Actually, I really want to just sort of eliminate that excuse from my own coaching experience. I encourage you to do that too, just because it's kind of a thing that rolls around in our head. And if we think like, oh, well, we're just playing down, that's an excuse. I want to get rid of that personally. There are other things at play there. But anyway, I encourage you to sort of change that excuse out for we didn't adjust enough, or we didn't turn up the temperature enough, or we weren't in control of that game. And then that gives you a little more to work with rather than, hey, don't play down against bad teams, which is unfortunately advice that I have given. And I know I won't be the last coach to do that either. I'm sure you have probably said it maybe even last week. So anyway, I know that this was a shorter episode, but I feel like you probably understand the concept, and I encourage you to take this back to your team. So not only is your lineup going to learn how to deal with these different situations and get in control of the game, when your players are on that substitution side and they're the ones who are trying to play too fast or trying to play too slow, there's going to be a lot of ball control that they work on, and maybe they'll start to see things differently, connect the dots, and see opportunities in upcoming matches where, you know what, they're playing really slow. If I speed up the game against them, they're not going to stand a chance. And since I've already practiced that, I know that maybe a set or dump right now would be a good idea. Or serving quickly after the whistle blows is going to give my team just a slight advantage. Even encouraging quick substitutions in that instance could help your own team by keeping that game pace up against teams that are dragging their feet and not letting the other team control the temperature. Anyway, I would love to hear your thoughts on this. This is based a lot on my own experience, as I've mentioned, as well as advice that I've heard in business and personal development areas. So if you want to have a conversation about this podcast episode or really any podcast episode, I encourage you to join the Volleyball Coaches Corner closed Facebook group. There is a link to the group as well as a couple other helpful links in the show notes. So I encourage you to request to join the group, check out the links in the description, and I'm looking forward to having you back for next week's episode.